In spite of our sin, you invite us to your table that we don't deserve. We deserve our wages, Lord. The wages of sin is death. But your gift to us is eternal life, Lord. How awesome you are. Bless us, Lord, as we sit at your feet and ponder on your words tonight, as we just begin this happy time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good to see every single one of you. Is everyone doing okay today? Yeah? Good. It's important. I'm going to tell you why that's important to me tonight. But let's prepare our word. I have good news, and I have good news, and then I have the good news. Okay, the first good news is that I understand Pastor Mark's luggage has arrived back from Africa. So that means that Pastor Mark and Sherry are near behind. So hopefully they're home safely by now, resting, I'm sure. Very tired and so happy to be home. I am sure we'll be back with us next week. So I want to thank the Lord for his safe return. And then we're going to begin our message. Well, thank you, Father, for our pastor. Thank you that it sounds like they had such incredible, fruitful time sharing with the pastors out there in Africa. Just allow them to be home safe right now and resting in their own bed, which I know that would be glorious to them. And just take over in their lives, Lord, and just give them rejuvenation this week, Lord. How blessed we'll be to see them next week. Let's begin now, Lord, as we ponder on your truth and your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, Pastor Mark's been off on his mission out in Africa, risking his life and limb out in dangerous places and travels and everything going right by what I've heard. Well, my life has not been too different. I've been out the last week with about 200 junior hires up at camp. So I'm glad to have survived that trip and just got back yesterday. I want to tell you about that this evening. But before we do that, let's go ahead in God's Word. In 1978, you know, I came to the Lord watching Billy Graham Crusade on TV. And, you know, I was just so excited that evening. And I went walking down the street to find the closest church I can find, not even knowing where the church was. I found myself in a church, and I was just so happy to go. And I started off by going 7 days a week. I was so fired on the Lord. Well, then I figured, well, the Lord didn't need me 7 days a week. I'd go 5 days a week. You know, and then after a little while, well, the Lord only needs to see me on Sundays anyway. After a while, well, the Lord doesn't need to see me over there at the church building. You know, I'll go whenever I have free time. And then I completely fell away and stopped going to church completely. And I called myself a Christian. And then when I come to realize, when I got myself back involved with Bible teaching church, I knew what I was missing, the actual fuel that I needed to fight the battles of life, the fuel I needed to keep joy in my life, the fuel, the Holy Spirit power that completely changed my life. And right now, I'm not in control. Tell the truth, I don't know why I'm standing here at this moment, but the Lord is in control. So the Word of God has to be the center of what we're doing. So I figured we'd start off on something very important right now. If you have your Bibles, would you open to Psalm 90? And I'd like to read this together. Maybe if I read the even numbered verses and ask you to read, no, I'll read the odd numbered verses and you read the even numbered verses, and let's see what the Spirit has to say to us this evening. Psalm 90. Okay, once again, I'll read the odd numbers and you read the even in mass. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. You carry them away like a flood. They are like sheep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Yes, Father God, we do have limited time, and we know that you need us, Lord, to carry out your message to those who are lost and confused and in doubt. Time is running short, Lord, and help us to ponder on our value to you as we answer to your call this very moment in Jesus' name. And we say together, amen. Amen. Well, I was pondering on this message this evening, and same time this afternoon, I was watching this fabulous video of the Harvest Crusade this last summer. And I'm thinking, wow, I wish I could speak like Greg Laurie. And then I thought, gee, what would Pastor Mark say if he was up here Saturday night? I bet you he would have something good to say. As I pondered, actually it was about a month ago, I was pondering on something very special to share. I was reading a book by Tony Dungy. Some of you football fans might have heard of him. He is a football coach for the Indianapolis Colts. And I thought it was going to be the typical book to read about, oh, how we used to lose, and I came to the Lord and we won the Super Bowl. No, the story by Tony Dungy was amazingly shocking. He, throughout all his episodes, whether they be high or low, his faithfulness to the Lord was persistent. And one of the things that he always mentioned in his book as he was actually ministering to his team was that we need to do what we do the best we can possibly do it. And that really spoke to me. You know, all of us, we have a mission before the Lord. We have a task. Each of you are pastors in respect of different ways. Not everyone has the opportunity to stand before a pulpit and speak before a congregation and even bring people to the Lord. But I'm saying this as an encouragement. While I rarely get a chance to stand on the pulpit, I'm usually sitting behind a piano on stage, and you know me as a musician. I spend much of my time during my week ministering just as there was a congregation before me. I don't boast about it, but I spend much of my time ministering to youth through the school that I work for, which is Calvary Chapel Downey. And I'm also a practicing, I call myself a minister. I'm ordained from Calvary Chapel, but I'm also an associate chaplain at Anaheim Memorial Hospital. So it is a weekly thing where I face myself with people who have hurts and pains, and their salvation is very doubtful. But something that was very revelationary to me this weekend, as I mentioned, I spent my week up in the mountains with about 200 junior high age kids from Calvary Chapel Downey. And as we had extended time in worship and prayer, I found their spiritual walks not that different than some of the senior citizens that I visit in the hospital on a regular basis. These young people, they have hurt, they have pain, and they have worry, and even to the point of tears. they have worry. Many of them confess of their sin, just like grown-ups. And many of them have worries and woes, and what are they going to be doing tomorrow? They may not be worrying about their jobs as of yet, like adults do, or about their health, like someone that's in the hospital, a senior citizen, but they're worrying about, you know, the responsibilities that are facing them very, very soon. This age group, they're the oldest of children, and they're facing high school very soon, and they're very much intimidated of the challenges that are coming up before them. And they come seriously with tears, and they question their value in life. You know, well, their parents have brought them to church. Their parents have made all their decisions up to this point, and now they're at a point in their life where they have to make decision, and they don't know what decisions to make. And they go before the altar up in the mountains over this week, literally in tears, in fear. And we, as a staff, we give them encouragement, and we try to share with them the value of who they are. They're all different, and they all have different kinds of gifts and talents and abilities. And truthfully, when I visit people in the hospital, there are people that have those very same issues. Whether they're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, many people that I speak to, their salvation is in question. The Lord needs us, everyone. The Lord needs us. We come to church gladly every week, I hope, even every day, to ponder on His Word for a reason, to be tooled, to share with these people that are out there at large. I'm giving you not an official statistic, but a personal statistic. If I go into the hospital, about 80% of them consider themselves Roman Catholic. And of the people, regardless of their religion, I will ask them over and over again, what is your religion? When whatever they tell me, say, oh, you're a Christian. Okay, what do you believe? And almost all of these people, unless if they're coming to a good Bible teaching church like ours, cannot tell me what they believe. They cannot tell me what they believe. Why are you a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? I think we are losing touch in the world out there at large, a huge amounts of people that forget the message of grace, the message that says that no matter what we do, no matter what we've done, that Jesus paid the price for us on the cross. And I want to say that first, because there's incredible amounts of people that don't know that their sins are paid for. The vast amounts of people feel that they need to do something right before they even show up to church. That they need to get their act ready before they approach God. No, Jesus paid the price. That's why I come to church. I'm not here because I'm so righteous. I'm here because God is righteous. Amen? Amen to that. God is God, and we're His children. And no matter where we're at, no matter what we're at with our walk, God created us. And of all the people that have ever been born since 2,000 years before Christ to this very moment, you realize that each of you were hand-picked by God. You were hand-picked. You are born once into this world for God's purposes. Once. Out of 2,000 years before Christ, up to now, there was only one of each of us. We were not here before this time. There's no reincarnation. There's religion in the world that says that after I finish this life on this earth right now, I'm going to become someone's cow. I'm not going to be someone's cow. Or I'm going to be some statue that some relative is going to pray to. God gives us one life. We read it in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that we were to be born at one time. And in spite of how great my parents have been to me, my parents, I came from them, but my life is life breathed from God at the time I was born, the time that God chose. And at the end of that life, we read already, 70, 80 years and longer when you're stronger, 90, 100 years, there's a time when the life is going to be over on this earth. And you know what? Even with loss in the family recently, The doctors don't choose that time. God chooses that time. One common denominator for each and every one of us, whether young or old, that time will come. Point is that we have a limited time to do God's work. When you're young, it seems like it's forever. But those of you who are middle-aged or more, you know how quick time goes, don't you? I do. I have my aches and pains also, and time is coming very soon. A couple years ago, when the doctor walked into my room and gave me a box of needles to take and inject myself 3 times a day, I thought, Lord, is this the time for me coming up soon? It was a real time of testing. And, you know, I went before the Lord. I said, well, Lord, whatever you call, it's your call, Lord. I don't have to do those shots anymore. So it's awesome. The Lord decides how long we live. Psalms 39:5, if you like to take notes like I do, you can write that down. Psalm 39:5 says, you have made my days a mere hand breath. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Each life is just but a breath. You know, all of us who have working lives, we know how quick weeks go by. By the time Monday starts, I go, oh boy, I had the whole week to get these tasks done. Before I know it, boop, it's Sunday night again. Look how fast time goes, everyone. And everyone has working lives. Everyone that I speak to in the hospital, they say, well, I would go to church, but I'm so busy. We don't have time in our lives to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did. You're familiar with the story of Martha and Mary? Martha thought she was doing so right, and she was going to prepare all this meal and clean the house and get everything right. And Mary did the right thing, and she just chose to sit at Jesus' feet. And as busy as our lives are, we need to prioritize, everyone. We need to make a logical choice within our lives. Of all the busyness that we have, what is the most important thing to you in your life? What you spend your days doing and your hours doing, that will tell the Lord. That shows you what's the most important to you. We need to make the most important thing in our life our Lord. That's what we call him, our Lord. I mean, he governs our lives. Not just Sunday life, not just Saturday night life, all 7 days, 24 hours a day life. Because that's what he requires, everyone. He doesn't want us to tip our toe into the water. He wants us to jump in and submerge into his Holy Spirit that he can do his work into our lives. Does everyone hear me? Someone say amen. Okay, just seeing if you're awake. Acts 17:26. Not only does he tell us when we're born, not only does he tell us when we die, he tells us where we're going to live. Acts 17:26 says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. He's God. You know, we happen to be living in the United States this time, in place, in this location for a reason. He puts people around us, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our uncles, our cousins, our family, our support system, for a reason. These people hopefully are support systems, and we, more importantly, support systems to them. How many of you have family members who are unsaved? Many. I know there are. Myself also. I pray daily for my nephews, and I have some other nephews on the other side that, you know, just refuse, and we've tried every way, so all we can do is pray for them. You know, and that's why one of the reasons why the Lord places us where we're at. I think, you know, it's our commissioned role to pray, actively pray for our family members who are unsaved, because time is running out. Time is running out. The Bible tells us that whether we're rich or poor, that should have no bearing on our value in our lives. And our system is completely turned upside down with the value systems of our day. You know, today, I know young ladies watch, there's someone, I used to think it was a cowboy star, Hannah Montana. I won't ask who watches Hannah Montana, but I know that a couple of weeks ago, Hannah Montana, I used to think it was a cowboy star, was performing here in Anaheim, and my granddaughter was asking for tickets to go see Hannah Montana. 8-year-old granddaughter wanted us to buy her and her friends $100 tickets to go see Hannah Montana. Well, our value system is not geared that way. This Hannah Montana must be pretty good. You know, singing, you know, the young ladies really like. And I notice on the news every day, there's something about like Paris Hilton and Lionel Richie's daughter and other people. And these young ladies seem to idolize folks like this. I'm familiar with Paris Hilton, and some of you are. She used to be on a program, and we used to laugh because she didn't even know how to run a vacuum cleaner. And the girls would idolize that, I think. And, you know, it's completely turning around. Instead of teaching kids, modeling kids, you know, what hard work is, what decency is, and what a good family life is, you know, watch a couple of young ladies, you know, don't know how to vacuum. I think we're turning ourselves around a little bit. Proverbs 22:2 says, whether rich or poor, you have this in common, that the Lord is maker of them all. They go to an older generation. When I was a child, you know, Bob Hope was pretty much exonerated in my parents' household. Bob Hope was pretty big. Frank Sinatra. Other name stars. You know, and we can think about people who were important. To me, Billy Graham, the greatest. Greg Laurie, Pastor Mark, both. You know, we look up to these people. But you know what? Before God, all these people are equal to us. So God does not value because they have a limelight, because they have a big stage. God values what's in the heart. God values what's in the heart. So many of you in this room right here have just as much value to the Lord as any famous evangelist or any other artist that you can think of. The Lord gives us even our talents and abilities. 1 Corinthians 12 reads, there are differences. Let's go to there. 1 Corinthians 12. Better to read it. 1 Corinthians, towards the back, if you like. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I like this because I am a musician, and there's been musicians that I've known that really love serving the Lord, and some go another direction. 1 Corinthians 12, I'll go ahead and start at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We have different gifts. We have different levels of gifts. We have different amounts of gifts, but of the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are different differences of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, I like this part, for the profit of all. For the profit of all. Those of you who are musicians and fellow worship leaders and cooks in the kitchen that minister to guys like me and you know, ministering in the church, we know we're doing it for the Lord when it's ministering to the body, right? Okay, I'm a musician, and in a younger life, I was a professional musician. I was a woodwind musician, not a pianist, but a woodwind musician. And I used to play musicals all over Southern California before I was married and settled down. And I was doing it purely for me. When I came to the Lord, I changed from a church that was very much a musical showcase. I'll go ahead and tell you, I used to play 15 years at the Crystal Cathedral. I used to play all the music that came out of the Hour of Power with that orchestra. And as I came to the Lord, it became a little bit for me, fleshly. I was doing it for a purpose because I was being compensated for it. And, you know, there was a point in time when I stepped aside from it because I was not being fed the Word of God there. I'm saying, there's good ministries there. There's good Bible teaching going on at the Garden Grove Community Church. I want to be fair. But there's a TV evangelism, I think it's still called, where, you know, the Word of God is not preached. You can go and see a celebrity. You can go and see a great musical performance. But I was not being fed. And I stepped away and I began my walk at Calvary Costa Mesa, where I was brought up in the Lord. And out of that, the Lord took what I was as a musician and put me to work for His purposes. And I had so much joy in it. And that's the point I want to make tonight, Lord. Whatever the gifts the Lord has given you, you know, if you use it for the benefit of the church body, wherever that church body might be, for God's glory, for His glory, not for your glory, for His glory, then you're going to be blessed. You will be blessed. I've been here with Kurt on Saturday nights for more than 8 years. You know, we don't get paid a penny. And you know what? I've been paid riches. Riches. It is being with many of you right here and just celebrating the Word of God with you is such a blessing. And I would never think about going to any other kind of denomination where they pay musicians because they want the best musicians possible. So that's something that we all need to keep in mind. Proverbs 3 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Wow, so I gave up one part of my fleshly living and I got even more out of the deal. And whatever your talents and abilities are, I'm encouraging you to share with God. Verse 5 of that same proverb, I need to complete this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I'm going to tell you about how I had to place my trust in the Lord in the last couple of years. As I'm an educator by profession, and I went growing up the ropes through public and private schools, and I got to the point and I got higher level degrees and thought that was going to get me someplace, and I earned my ranks up school administration and was not being satisfied. You know, and I wronged myself because I was working for myself again instead of trusting on the direction that the Lord was bringing me. You know what? I've learned to trust. I learned this lesson again the last couple of years. And you know, I love music. I love music. And I love teaching. I love kids of all ages. And you know what? The Lord finally got me to a place where He wanted me to be. Now I work for Calvary Chapel Downey teaching music for 1st through 12th graders, all of them, every day. I have more than 300 music students. It's amazing. That's why I'm always tired so much. But it's a blessing all the time. Look, let's look together at Psalm 139. This is a celebration in my heart. Psalm 139, let's see, I'm getting there. Starting at verse 13, talking about God's provision to us. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Let me stop and highlight a couple of spots in there. In that passage we just read together, the Lord formed our inward parts. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we're made of inside, because He created us on the inside. He's not so concerned with the outside, as the world teaches us today. We're so involved with looking at the outside. The guys are all muscular like I am, and the girls are all pretty. And, well, those the I am part? Okay. You laugh more than my high school students do, so thank you. He knows us inside and out. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. And we would think about even doubting Him. The Lord, He covers us. He covers us in protection. I teach my young students, you know, we're on the freeway, most of us, every day. And sometimes we come with inches of big rigs and trucks. And every time when I pass, I hope a truck driver's in here. Every time when I go by a big truck, I thank you, Lord. Because you never know. It could be the simplest thing. It happens every day. We see on the news, car slipping, someone loses control. And people planning on being home every night. You know, someone doesn't show up at home because someone gets hurt or even killed every day. And Yolanda, every day, ask her. We pray every day for each other, protection to come home that day. Ask her. We pray for that every day. And you guys, He covers us in His protection. And we shouldn't take it for granted, the protection He provides for us, not only physically, but emotionally. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. I said it before, you know, I love my parents, and they brought all of your parents brought you forth, my parents brought me forth. And, you know, but I'm made by God. He breathed life into me one day. And I remind whenever I look at the eyes of young children how an amazing miracle that one life is. Amazing. Skillfully. You know, it's a long message by itself. I've heard a message talking about the skillful hands of how He's constructed us, about how our lungs are. The other day I was teaching kids about the beat in music. And I referred to the heartbeat. And I started thinking about, you know, before we were born, our heart beats. And we don't have to think about it, do we? But it just beats and beats and beats and beats. For years and years and years, the Lord holds us up with a heartbeat and our breathing. We don't take it for granted. I hope we don't take it for granted, but it's there. The Lord covers us with His amazing creation, and that is each and every one of us. Psalm 139 said that the yearbook has been written. Our yearbook has been written already. Every school that I have ever worked at has a yearbook. They complete the entire 9-10 months of a school year, and they compile all their pictures, and then you can reminisce what has already happened. The Lord has already written our yearbook. He has a plan for us. Are we going to deviate from His plan? And we have that choice. And when we do, sometimes we end up very miserable. And then finally, in this passage, our days are fashioned for us. I underlined in my notes, our days are fashioned for us, not the other way around. The Lord laid out everything for us, to bless us, to give us every opportunity to be blessed by Him. He gave us everything that we need, plus the things that He knows that we enjoy. Ephesians 2:10, you can write this down in your notes if you're taking notes. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amazing. But so many times, and I know in my own life and many people's life, we deviate to go and we want to do our thing. We don't want to wait. We don't want to submit to anyone else's rules, do we? When I drive up to McDonald's, I don't want to wait for that big burger for 30 minutes like you do in other countries. You want it right now. And if we don't get it right now, we go somewhere else. And that's what I'm afraid our world is doing. We kind of steer away from God's ways of living. We want to compromise and do our own thing. We have communion tonight. I've only finished 2 pages out of my 6-page message, so I know you guys are not in a hurry to get home, are you? Okay. So I'm going to cut a little bit. I was going to tell you about some stories, but I'll skip a little bit. Matthew 7:13 tells us about, and you're familiar with it, there's two roads. There's a wide road, there's a narrow road that we go down in life. As a grown-up, hardcore kind of Catholic kind of person, I was taught that there was 3 roads. But no, the Bible tells us there's only 2 roads. There's a wide road that most people go down. People go down this wide road seeking pleasures in themselves. This wide road, Bible describes it, full of destruction, addictions, cursings, bitterness, arrogance, boredom, confusion, weakness, despair, discouragement, and immorality, and failure, and hate. Those are the symptoms of people going down the wide road, thinking they're satisfying themselves, seeking that quick fix, whatever it might be. But there's a narrow road that fewer people go down, that leads to a narrow gate. This is the way that the Lord wants us to go down. This road leads us to life, beauty, freedom, joy, inspiration, power, wholeness, love. Funny, when you submit yourself to God's leading, the things that amazingly happen in your life. It's an amazing thing. I want to read a verse. If you could turn, go backwards to Judges. Chapter 9. Be starting about verse 8. This little reading here meant something to me much because, you know, I spent much of my life thinking I was going to go Mark Cuneo's direction, and a magic thing, the Lord just kind of brought me to a place where I had to submit to Him and trust to Him, and realizing that, you know, even though I may not be famous, I may not have a huge church of my own, I may not have my own crusade, if that's what I wanted to do, I'm not a famous musician. The Lord places me where He needs me to be. And that in that place, I find the most fulfillment, the most joy and happiness. Sometimes I'm made fun of here in church. They call me Pastor Happy Time. And you know what? Deep inside, I completely accept that kind of funny title. Let me read this to you. Judges chapter 9. This is the first parable in the Bible, by Jotham. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Should I cease giving my oil, with which they honor God and men, and go to sway over the trees?" Then the tree said to the fig tree, "You come and reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over the trees?" Then the tree said to the vine, "You come and reign over us." But the vine said to them, "Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go to sway over the trees?" Let me stop at that moment. Right now, if someone were to ask me, "Well, Mark, if you come over here and be our assistant pastor of our church, you'll make lots of money." If someone were to offer a deal like that to me, you know what? I think I would turn it down. I'm not famous now, what I do. Most of you don't know what I do during the week, except for me telling you. You know, I would not do it because right now I am so fulfilled doing what God has asked me to do. Weekly, I walk into Anaheim Memorial Hospital, and I don't know if I've seen, is anyone here from a patient from Anaheim Memorial Hospital? Because I get often asked, well, where do you go? And a couple of them, more than a couple of them said, well, I'm going to go over there and see you. I'm not supposed to tell them that because we're not supposed to proselytize, but you know, they want to know where they can get what I got because I tell them about the Lord. And, you know, and many people that are unsaved, they become saved. And many people who are in tears, they find peace in just a little bit of prayer. You know, they have not gotten to their church, so church gets to come to them. And I'm so blessed being able to do that. 7 years ago, I evangelized the first person I ever saved. First person I ever brought to the Lord. Let me say that correctly. It was my father. I had a day of work, and my father was in the hospital the day before having a bypass surgery. And Lord, and Pastor Mark was bringing me up in the ministry, and Lord, what happens if something were to happen to my father tomorrow? And I sat and sat and sat, and I looked at my Bible and read verses. And I walked over to the hospital, and I said to my dad has been going to Catholic Mass for years. I said, Dad, have you ever asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin? I said, well, I go to church. I said, Dad, have you ever asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin? I try not to get busted up when I tell the story. I said, well, no. I said, well, Dad, that's why Jesus died on the cross, to forgive you of your sin. Do you want to be forgiven of anything you've ever done? Things you haven't even told me, the Lord knows. You don't have to confess to me, I told him, but if you confess in your heart your sins to the Lord and ask him to forgive you, he will. I told my father, if something were to happen to him, I wanted to know that he was going to be in heaven. I asked him, do you want this? And he said, yes. He accepted that. He accepted the Lord. I came speeding down Anaheim Boulevard, the most happiest, joyous day in my life, next to my wedding, of course. And I came to tell Pastor Mark about this joyous thing. I felt like a vine that was bursting with joy. Wow. That was a very addicting experience. 5 years after that, my father went home to be home to the Lord. It was just before coming to Saturday night church. I called Kurt, said, I can't make it. And Kurt, you guys don't know, knows more about the loss than anyone that you know. You know, he's had loss in his life. So I said, don't worry, brother. Take care. And so I had stayed home for a couple of weeks. To tell you the truth, I felt like the musical wind got knocked right out of my gut. I was not sure if I was going to come and be able to sincerely play with great joy. It felt that day ever again. And 2 weeks later, I needed to report back to the hospital because I had a task as a chaplain at the hospital. And so I remembered a message of Pastor Mark's. He said, just show up. So I walked into the hospital. That afternoon, there were two deaths and one person that was told that their mother was going to pass away. We were overwhelmed. There was just two of us to provide spiritual care for the patients that afternoon. And we were overwhelmed. And I'll never forget the woman I spoke to. What do I do? My mom just passed away. What do I do? Well, you know, I knew exactly what to do because I just went through it burying my father. And I felt that you know, you have different tasks in life. You have different abilities. Whether you're young or old, you are valuable to the Lord's ministry. What is it that the Lord wants you to do? Are you ready to submit yourself to what the Lord has for you? Which I guarantee you is a great, great thing. If you don't know what your task in life is for the Lord, you should be praying daily to seek what He wants for you. No one in the room is dead. You still have something to do. Are you ready to submit to it? God will take care of you and provide everything that you need. We're going to prepare for communion. So if the worship band would come up. Here we are. With the apostles were invited to the Lord's Supper, we remember that not a single one of them were righteous before God. Not a single one of them. We know the stories of Peter. We know the stories of Matthew and the others. They were invited not because of their righteousness. They were invited to the table because God was good to them. And we come together as a church family, not because of how good we are. We come because we receive the grace that God has given us that we don't deserve. Does everyone hear me? This is the reason why we come to church. We're not righteous. The Bible says there's no one righteous. No, not one. Not one. We deserve death. But in spite of that, the Lord invites us to His table to give us every provision that we need. All we have to do is come and receive. Okay, now we're going to pray for the bread.
Father, we come before You. We thank You so much, Lord, what this means. Lord, we do this in remembrance of You, Your body broken for us, Lord. Every stripe that You receive is because of our sin, Lord. We thank You for that. Let this be a time of knowing what You've done for us and continue to live in a way of obedience and submission. So we thank You so much for the love You have for each of us. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And when Jesus gathered them together, He broke the bread and gave it to them and said, "This is My body, which will be given. Take this and eat it. It is given for you." Let's partake with this. Pray for the wine.
Dear Lord, we just pray that tonight would be a night of just reconciliation with You, Lord. And Lord, and just thank You so much for this grape juice, Lord, that just represents Your blood, Father, that was shed on the cross for our sins, Lord. Just wash us and make us new again, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus said, "Take this cup and drink of it. But this is My blood, which will be given for the remission of sins of all men. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's partake. Gracious Father God, we receive the commission you have for us. Amongst a dark world, allow us to be your light. I ask for blessing upon every heart in this room, that every provision would be made, and everyone in this room would find peace in their day, until the day we assemble in that great church, which there is no more tear, no more pain, and no more sorrow. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, Amen. Happy Saturday night, everyone. God bless you.